This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
It may seem strange in talking from a message from 1 Timothy about relationships and family to talk about hell. You're going to say, why would he talk about hell talking about family? Why would he talk about hell talking about relationships on earth? For this reason, there's a reason. One family expert years ago said that the average family is one of three things. Average family, extended family relationships, either a blessing, a nuisance, or hell on earth. And that may seem strong, it may sound overly simplistic, but you know what? I think he's right. For a lot of people, family relationships and even extended family relationships are either a blessing, a nuisance at best, or a hell on earth. And so I am going to begin by talking about hell, for some words about hell from Max Lucado. He writes this: if there is no hell, then God is not just. If there's no punishment of sin, heaven is apathetic toward the rapists and the pillagers and the mass murderers of society. If there is no hell, God is blind toward the victims and has turned his back on those who pray for relief. If there is no wrath toward evil, then God is not love, for love hates that which is evil. Would you listen to that again? Love hates that which is evil. As much as we resist the idea, isn't the absence of hell even worse? In the end, God saves those who want to be saved and dismisses those who don't. Hell is living outside of God's will. Hell is living outside of God's love. God sends out Valentine's Day cards every day, every moment, to people announcing his love for them. They are returned to sender, rejected. People prefer the love of the world. Hell is living outside eternal productivity. Only eternal things enter eternity. You, me, and the souls with us. Hell is outside of God's blessing. Hell is outside of God's illumination. The most common description of hell is darkness. Hell is about separation, being outside of God. And then Max ends with this line: I know, it's a dreadful thought. I know, it's a dreadful thought. I want to talk about relationships today in light of what I just read from the book of 1 Timothy. Today, the blueprint for the family, fifth chapter, for relationships, beginning at verse 1, just 8 verses, goes like this: do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents. For this is pleasing to God. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. Give the people these instructions too, so that no one may be open to blame. And then this frightening verse, the last verse I'll read today, verse 8. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Can you imagine saying that? If somebody doesn't provide for his relatives, especially those in his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Paul begins by dividing the church essentially into four groups of people: older men, older women, younger men, and younger women. And I remember as a younger person, I kind of took offense to that. I said, hey, what about the people in the middle? What about the 40s and 50s? Those people. Where do they fit in the deal? And then it dawned on me, Paul didn't need to do that for this reason. If you're in the 40 to 50, 50 to 60 range, if you're with a group of people that are 70 and 80 years old, you know what you are? You're young. You're a young person. But the other side of the coin is, if you're in the 40s and 50s range and you're with a group of 20-somethings, you're old. You are old in their minds. And so it's all relative. And Paul basically uses the idea of this. You treat older people with respect. You treat younger people with absolute purity. What difference would that make in our world if people followed that in the business world? A lot. You treat older people with respect. Doesn't mean you cut them a special deal or you bribe them or whatever. You treat them with respect and you treat younger people, men and women, with absolute purity. And that's what I find interesting, Paul's advice to a young minister named Timothy. But then he talks about widows. Some of you have never heard this before, perhaps, but in the church was the primary provider for widows who had no family. And it's interesting, there was no Social Security, there was no SSI, there was no Medicare, Medicaid, no life insurance, no health insurance, so people were totally dependent upon the church as providing for widows. Now, here's what's interesting to me. Some of you may get mad at this, what I'm going to say next, and I don't say it to make people mad. I don't see it, and I really mean this, I don't say it to be offensive. But do you notice that Paul told Timothy that people are to be concerned about their parents and their grandparents and providing for their needs? In our culture, it's just the opposite. And you got grandparents raising grandchildren. And you got grandparents taking care of everything financially for the children and the grandchildren. And as one financial planner told me, there are a lot of people out there that are providing for three families. It's the older couple providing for their family, one or two of their children, plus a grandchild's family. It's totally the reverse of Scripture. I'm just making an observation, I'm not saying something critical. I'm not being mean or ugly about it, just talking about what is. And then verse 8 is the key verse. If anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. I want to talk about that for a minute. I'm always interested in word meanings. And so I wanted to know, what does the word deny mean? You deny the faith. Found out that in the Greek, it's actually a legal term that lawyers would use today. We get the word abnegate. It means to give up the right to something. If I do not provide for my family, particularly the immediate family, I have abnegated the faith. I've given up legal rights. Somebody might give up in a divorce. I might give up legal rights to something. They abnegated a piece of property. They abnegated the rights to a car, something like that. And we abnegate the family. We give up our rights. That's a dramatic term. But then he says they become worse than an unbeliever. You know what word he's thinking? Pagans. The reason that Paul uses it is because even unbelievers, pagan people, quote unquote, knew that they should take care of their family.
Well, all this week on Cross Hope, a message about relationships, the blueprint for relationships from the book of 1 Timothy. Our website is crosshope.org. One word, crosshope.org. Well, all this week, the fourth message in a series called Blueprint from the book of 1 Timothy. This part of the Blueprint series has to do with the blueprint for family relationships that's given, believe it or not, in 1 Timothy 5. Isn't it interesting that we can look at a book 2,000 years old and say, that speaks to my family today? It does. Here's why. Listen to this message as it continues.
Nofel Staten is the guy that was I've quoted often, was the air traffic controller at O'Hare Airport who became a minister. I've never known anyone else who's gone that career change. Air traffic controller to minister, then on to college professor, then president of Hope University in Fullerton, California. Just a dramatic change in his life. And he says that in relationship problems, he believes it's this simple. He said, of the problems you have in your family and extended family, 15% of it is that you got wrong information or not enough information. You got a problem with an in-law, you got problems with a parent or something. There may be some information you don't have or they don't have about you. They don't know the whole story. or you have incorrect information. You ever have built up a whole scenario in a relationship where you just dismiss somebody because you based it on information that you found out 2 weeks later was wrong? What'd you have to do? You had to change your conclusion. If you're honest and decent, you say, well, I was wrong because I thought this, and now I've got to change my conclusion. But he said 15% of it is based on, he believed, wrong information or not enough information. And then he said this, but 85% of it is based on our ignorance of how to get along with people. I think he's right. 85% of our problems is based on the fact we just don't know how to treat people. We don't know how to live with people. And what I'm saying today about providing for family, it's not enough to provide food on the table. We have to be willing as parents to provide emotional nourishment and spiritual nourishment. I've had people look me in the eye and with pride, and I really mean this. This sends a chill up my spine every time I think of this, but I really mean that. I've had parents look at me and say with pride, well, we've decided we're going to let our son or our daughter decide what they believe religiously when they're 13 or 15 or 18. Like, aren't we great? Aren't we intellectual? Aren't we enlightened because we do that? They should be ashamed. The Bible says to raise your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. What's that mean? You instruct them in spiritual truth. You model spiritual truth. You lead them in spiritual truth. And so when a man or woman stands with pride and says, I'm going to let my son, I'm going to let my daughter decide her spiritual future, thinking it's so great, it's so awful. And I don't say that judgmental and begin, it's just an observation. It's because they don't even get it. The sentence they're pronouncing on a child by saying, it's up to you. Because here's why. Those same parents would want to instruct that child athletically. That same parent would say, we're going to instruct you educationally. We're going to direct you to a school. We're going to direct you to scholarship programs. We're going to direct you to this and that program. And then turn right around and say, but we're going to let you decide spiritually. It's all up to you. Totally in conflict with Scripture. It's another example of abnegating the family.
Well, I know that those are strong words in this message today, but I'm going to ask you to at least think about them. If you don't agree with them, at least think about them. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to any message or this message again.
I want to close with this story told by E. Stanley Jones. E. Stanley Jones was a Methodist writer that some of you may remember from reading years ago. He tells about being on a transatlantic cruise in the day before cruises were like they are today. I've never been on a cruise, Annie, and I've never gone on one. Some of you have. And I understand you can eat from morning till night. You can get up and have breakfast, and then you can have another breakfast at 10 o'clock, and you can have lunch at noon, and then you can have a 2 o'clock lunch, and then you can go to early setting of dinner at 4, and then dinner at 6 or 7, and then there's a midnight snack and a midnight buffet, and people have told me all the things that they can do. But he said, E. Stanley Jones said, when he went on a transatlantic cruise, they had 3 meal times a day. I think 7 to 9, 11 to 1, and 5 to 7. And so when you wanted to eat, you had to eat, go to the dining room of that ship during those time frames. The first day he was there, he noticed something, that there was a couple, middle-aged couple as he described them, that went to the breakfast. As soon as the breakfast was over, they went out into the foyer of the dining area and they sat down in the big couches and chairs out there and started looking at their watch, crossed their arms, and they waited till lunch. Sat there the whole morning. Ate lunch, came out into the foyer, sat down, crossed their arms, looked at their watch, and waited till supper. And he said, the whole cruise, he said, every day I noticed they did the same thing. He wasn't being critical of them just to be critical. He said they never went out on the deck of the ship. They never took advantage of some of the activities, limited as they would be back then, on the transatlantic cruise. But he said they did nothing other than wait for the next meal. He said, what a tragedy to be on a cruise. And he said, you know, there's something worse than that. men and women in our culture today, and I'll put the year 2015, they're just waiting for the next meal, just waiting for the next pleasurable event, waiting for the next whatever in life, and fill in the blank for you, for me, and not focusing on what we've been called to do, to be in relationship with people, so that someday some people can say, my relationship with him was a blessing. It wasn't a nuisance, and it certainly wasn't a hell on earth. My relationship with her was a blessing. It wasn't a nuisance. It wasn't a hell on earth. It was a blessing. And they're referencing the people they're the closest to. Treat the older people with respect, the younger people with absolute purity. In other words, be a moral person in the way you deal with people. But be aware of your responsibility as a provider. Be aware of the spiritual responsibilities. Live your life in such a way that you don't abnegate, give up the rights spiritually to your family. But you were a parent who mattered. You were a husband who mattered. And you were a wife who mattered in terms of your relationships. You know, relationships are important to the Lord for this reason. Max Lucado is right. The only thing you take with you to heaven, nothing physical. You won't take a car with you. You won't take a hobby with you. You won't take anything with you other than your relationships. Your relationship with the Lord and your relationship with other believers, hopefully including your family. That's what we take to heaven. When people say, well, we know people in heaven, why wouldn't we know people in heaven? Our knowledge will be made perfect. We'll know everyone. And we'll know the people that were close to us, the people that we had an opportunity to minister to. It's called your family.
Well, we'll conclude this message tomorrow on Cross Hope. I really want you to hear the final comments, a powerful story that we share tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to this message or any message you've missed on Cross Hope. God bless you. Now then, today, the conclusion of the message we began Monday from 1 Timothy 5 about the blueprint for relationships, particularly in the family. We're going to close the message today with a story that really impacted me because it's the story of a woman making what I feel to be the greatest compliment I've ever heard a woman make of her husband. I hope that piques your curiosity and you want to hear the story. It continues as we conclude this message from 1 Timothy 5 called Blueprint for Relationships.
The home is to be a museum of memories. A museum of memories. What does that mean, a museum of memories? You have a museum of memories if you're an adult. You know what it is? What do you recall about your childhood when I just say that statement? What do you recall? That's your museum. You have some special memories, perhaps, but maybe you have some unpleasant memories. You have good memories, you have bad memories, and a home provides a museum of memories. And get this, you're in the business of being a museum curator right now. If you have children at your home, you're the curator. You're the person who runs the museum. And you're helping to create the things that will be remembered 10 and 20 and 30 and 40 years from now. I read this week probably the greatest compliment that a woman ever gave to her husband, ever, that I've ever read about. And I really mean that. I'm not being sarcastic. This is a great compliment that a woman paid her husband, because I've never heard any woman give this compliment to her husband. It's written by Fanny Hurst. Don't even know who she is. One paragraph long. It goes like this. One evening at dinner, after my husband had related the decision he made during the day, I burst forth, how in the world is it that in all the years we've been married, I never remember you doing a thing that I wish you hadn't done? How can you be so consistently mindful of others? Isn't that an interesting comment that a wife made about her husband? How in the world that in all these years, I never remember you doing a thing I wish you hadn't done? How can you be so consistently mindful of others? Her husband was so humble. Here's what he said. I suppose it's because I have to live with myself. Pass the potatoes. That's what he said. Pass the potatoes. You know, I was thinking about that husband. It's more than just he had to live with himself. He realized he had to live with his God. And someday he's going to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as a father, just as every father in here is going to, and every mother in this room is. And what we're going to have to do, I think, is give an account for everything. The Bible says someday we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of what we've done in the body. That includes family. Surprise, surprise, but I believe that's a big part of it. What have we done? Paul says, treat older people respect, younger people with absolute purity. Take care of the widows. And if anyone doesn't provide for his family, he's abnegated his rights to that family legally, spiritually, and he's worse than an unbeliever. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to us through 1 Timothy 5 today. Powerful passage that maybe is new to some people today that never heard a message taught from this book or chapter of the Bible. But it speaks to people about real life issues. Help us to be men and women who are examples, people who provide spiritually and emotionally and physically, not just one or the other. Bless this decision time. Thank you for the people that responded earlier in the services already. Bless this invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.